following sermon was delivered at the 10:30 worship service at the United Methodist Church of Kent. Please enjoy.
Pentecost gets short shrift in America today. There are three major holidays in the Christian year: Christmas, Easter, and Pentecost. But Pentecost gets much less attention than the other two, perhaps because no one has figured out how to make money off of it. Yet Pentecost is of enormous significance in the New Testament story, as it represents a major turning point. Prior to Pentecost, the disciples were a small group of Jesus' followers who were hiding out in Jerusalem. They had witnessed the miracle of Easter, but they weren't quite sure really what to do about it, and there was serious question as to whether they would have the courage to do anything about it. After all, when they had been under pressure during the arrest of Jesus, they had all fled, and Peter even had denied knowing Jesus altogether. On top of that, the disciples did not appear to be qualified to have much of an impact, even if they wanted to do something. They were ordinary individuals, mostly fishermen, from an obscure and despised corner of the empire. They did not appear to be a group that was capable of starting a world-changing movement. But the risen Jesus told the disciples to wait in Jerusalem until they had received power from on high. So the disciples waited until the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days after Easter. In the Old Testament, Pentecost was called the Feast of Weeks because it was a week of weeks after Passover. By the time of Jesus, the day had come to be called Pentecost, Penta referring to the 50-day span between Passover and this festival. This was basically a harvest festival prescribed in detail in the book of Leviticus. It celebrated the bringing in of crops after the long and relatively wet springtime growing season in Israel. The Jews had also come to use Pentecost as a day for celebrating the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. It was a major festival, and many Jews from across the empire had gathered in Jerusalem for the celebration. Suddenly, we are told in the book of Acts, there came upon the disciples a great rushing of wind. Wind in the Bible being a symbol for the Spirit of God. And there appeared above them what looked like tongues of fire. Fire in the Bible being a symbol of the presence of God. And Acts declares they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. This was by no means the first appearance of the Holy Spirit in the Scriptures. The Spirit of God appears in the very opening verses of the Bible when Genesis says, "In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters." The Spirit of God is the presence of God in the world. And we find the Spirit of God at work at numerous points in the Old Testament story. In the story we considered a couple of weeks ago, for example, the story of Balaam and his donkey, we were told of how King Balak of Moab wanted Balaam to curse the people of Israel, but Balaam was moved by God to bless them instead. The story says at one point, "Then the Spirit of God came upon Balaam and he uttered an oracle." The Spirit of God inspired Balaam to speak God's truth. And the Spirit of God would go on to inspire many prophets to speak the truth of God throughout the history of Israel. And the Spirit would inspire and empower many individuals for leadership in Israel. What we see in Balaam and others is the Spirit of God coming upon a person and enabling that person to do what the person would otherwise be unable or disinclined to do. This then is precisely what we see on the day of Pentecost. the Holy Spirit comes upon the disciples, and suddenly the disciples are moved to go out and begin speaking boldly the gospel message to the crowds who were gathered in Jerusalem. Now, this was risky business. Jesus had just recently been condemned as a criminal by the Roman government, and it hardly seemed that the disciples could be effective anyways in delivering some sort of message, since they were not polished speakers. On top of that, many of the people in Jerusalem had come from all over the empire and did not even speak the language that they were speaking. And yet, the Holy Spirit was at work in them with power. The book of Acts tells of how Peter, who'd previously denied Jesus, took center stage and began boldly proclaiming the gospel, giving an inspiring message that is recorded in the book of Acts. The other disciples were speaking as well. And although many in the crowd spoke other languages, the Holy Spirit brought about a miracle on the day of Pentecost, such that the people in the crowd began to hear the gospel, each in their own language. In the end, 3,000 people came to faith in Christ on that day alone. What Jesus had promised was fulfilled. Power had come upon the disciples from on high. And the Holy Spirit was enabling the disciples to do what they otherwise would have been unable or disinclined to do. As people came to faith, they gathered together in the church, the community of believers, and thus Pentecost is also sometimes called the birthday of the church. The early church then is described in that passage we heard from Acts. It was a dynamic fellowship, characterized by generous sharing, by commitment to spiritual growth, and by an atmosphere of thankfulness and praise. And it was a fellowship that was steadily growing. As Acts reports, day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. Indeed, that growth occurred in spite of continuous severe resistance. There was sharp resistance at first from the temple leadership, and then the Roman government for years mounted intense, brutal persecutions of Christians, and yet the Christians persevered until finally the whole empire was transformed. 300 years after Pentecost, the Christian faith, which had once been confined to a small group of believers hiding out in Jerusalem, became the leading faith in the Roman Empire. What enabled all this to happen was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave to early Christians the ability to preach and to act with real love, and gave them the courage and the conviction to go forth with the gospel in spite of major difficulties and threats. The Holy Spirit broke down barriers to understanding, enabling people to hear and to comprehend the gospel message. And the Holy Spirit worked in people's hearts, inspiring them to respond in faith. So the followers of Jesus were able finally to live lives that made a real difference in the world because they had received power from on high. There's a story that's been told about Mayor Richard Daley, who for years was mayor of Chicago at the top of a political machine. The story is almost certainly apocryphal, although it fits Daley's character. The story is that one day, one of Mayor Daley's speechwriters came in and asked for a raise. Mayor Daley responded, "I am not going to give you a raise. It should be enough for you that you are working for a great American hero like myself." And that was the end of it, or so Mayor Daley thought. A few weeks later, Mayor Daley mounted a podium at a major convention of veterans. The national press was there, Mayor Daley loved attention, and he began a speech. He had not read the speech ahead of time. Rumor has it that this was his pattern. He just pulled out the prepared speech and began to speak from it as follows. "I have a concern for veterans. I have a heart for veterans. I am deeply convinced that this country needs to take care of its veterans. So today, I am proposing a 17-point plan that includes the city, state, and federal government to care for the veterans of this country." By this point, all the people there, including Mayor Daley, were on the edge of their seat wondering what the proposal was. Mayor Daley turned the page and saw only these words: "You're on your own now, you great American hero." The story of Acts is the opposite of this. Jesus did not cut his disciples adrift to be left on their own. Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit to guide them, to sustain them, to teach them what to say, to work through them. And they themselves had the humility and the faith to let the Holy Spirit work. In the end, by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, the world of their day was truly transformed. The Holy Spirit is present to likewise be at work in our lives, to enable us to go forth in spite of challenges and threats, to use our gifts to be a part of the work of God's kingdom in our time. The experience of Pentecost, the experience of being empowered by the Holy Spirit to make a real difference in the world, that experience continues and becomes a reality in our lives as we are receptive to the movement of the Holy Spirit among us. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you promised your disciples that power would come from on high, and indeed that power filled them as the wind of the Holy Spirit moved them to go forth as your witnesses into the world. That wind blows yet today. You are here among us to inspire and empower us today. And we pray that you would lead us, O Lord, to open our hearts, that your Spirit might truly flow in and through us, that we might be enabled to use our gifts to share today as your witnesses, to be at work for the good of your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, that today, as at the first Pentecost, you draw us together into the life of your church so that we can support each other and grow together and act together to be in real mission to the world. We do lift up persons in our church fellowship who are in times of particular challenge. We would pray for those who've had a recent hospital stays, those recuperating from surgery, praying for your healing power. We also remember those who are mourning. Lord, in the midst of death, guide us as we would take hold of your promise of victory over death, the life that we can have in you forever. And lead us, Lord, that your Spirit might indeed flow through us to bring about transformation in today's world, that your ways, O Lord, of goodness and peace might take hold. We give thanks, Lord, that we can indeed come together and be receptive afresh to that movement of your Spirit. Lead us as today that fire of your Spirit would continue to be a reality among us and as we lift our hearts to you in faith and in praise. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the United Methodist Church of Kent Sermon Podcast. For more information about the church and to read Dr. Palmer's notes from the pastor blog with more about today's topic, visit www.kentmethodist.org.